This is RJ City, and you are listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Yordano Diablo.
Let the hate flow!
Available on the Lousy Weather Media Network.
Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Yordano Diablo.
And this week on the show, we are joined by musician Bags Bugatti.
What's going on, y'all? What's going on?
Not much, man. Thanks for coming on.
I appreciate y'all.
Yeah. So, Bags, why do you hate two-faced people?
Because, but I feel like the people that's two-faced, honestly, brings a lot of negativity into the world, and you can't. The world is cool with negative and positive, but then again, it's better with positive. I feel like the world would be better if people weren't two-faced, because people would know the truth instead of you lying all the time. If you don't lie, a person would know the truth, even if it's good or bad.
That is true. But what about those situations where a little white lie is going to keep you from experiencing a negative situation in the future?
Which is true. That's why I said it's good to have negative and positive, because sometimes you do have to lie. You have to lie. Not you say lie. Sometimes you have to bend the truth, so you won't. Yeah. So you won't have to send somebody through a bad situation. That is true. Because a door opened up and then it smacked right in the face.
And that's the thing, is like I don't think that lying or bending the truth is 100% synonymous with being two-faced. Like, you know, being two-faced is speaking out of both sides of your mouth, you know, like, you know, just like, oh, I'll tell this person the one thing, but then I'll say this about them. But, you know, like, they're not 100% synonymous. Cause you do. I mean, I was just talking about this with somebody the other day, like everybody lies, like no matter what everybody lies, even if it's something small, something big. But my friend, I mean, he's not the only person to ever say this, but he was like, he's like, the reason I like to be honest with everybody, he's like, because I don't have to remember anything if I don't lie. He's like, I don't have to cover my story up.
True. True. And that's it, because when you sit there and tell a lie, and then a person can come back and ask you again what's going on, or they bring the story back up, and you don't remember what you said.
I've been through that too many times, man.
I've been through that too many times, especially doing with this industry, man. I go through that so much. But a person telling you one thing, week later or 2 weeks later, there's a whole nother story. They swear up and down that they told you this. That's not what you said.
Nope. That's, yeah. I mean, especially like in the entertainment industry, it's, you know, it's kill or be killed, and everybody's willing to step on somebody else's neck, you know, to get ahead or whatever. And
your body, your neck, everything.
Put all your limbs off, whatever.
Yeah.
For a little piece of, you know, fame or attention. And that's like, you know, because I used to book a lot of shows, and I mean, just, you know, promoters are generally the ones who are lying most of the time. But I mean, I dealt with plenty of people.
Constantly.
The only lie I was telling as a promoter was like, lots of people want to see me. No, seriously, I can get on the radio and we'll get 100 people in here. Like,
yeah, I'll get you on the radio at 1 o'clock in the morning on Monday.
Yeah.
That is how it be. That's exactly how it is, man.
Yeah, well, I still like doing radio at 1 o'clock in the morning on Mondays.
So. Oh, I didn't say it's not fun. I'm just saying, like, yeah. Yeah, no, I can do this for you. Like, oh, I can get you on the radio, you know. Oh, I can introduce you to this person. And then it's like, well, who the fuck is that person? Nobody cares.
Yeah. I think the worst two-faced thing with comedians, though, is the whole when they come up to you after you're done with your set and they go, hey, man, good set. You don't mean it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, motherfucker, I know I suck tonight. Like, get the fuck out of here.
You gonna fucking tell me that fucking lie. It's fucking lie. Two-faced. Fucking two-faced.
Here, I got one for you. Your set was good too.
Mm. You bloody fucking.
Yeah, man, it happens all the time. It's just they teach you, you know, that you always like you always got to be positive, regardless of whether or not you have a reason to be positive.
Yeah,
and it leads to some two-faced stuff. But I try to be honest, but I don't want to hurt these. Like, if a kid comes up to me and is like, "How was my set?" I don't want to just tell him everything was bullshit. You know,
I gotta
lie somewhat.
I mean, yes. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Because I want to hear your input.
I was just gonna say, like, as far as like with like comedians and shit go. You can always, no, I guess not even just comedians, anything. Like, if you're going to tell, if somebody comes up and asks you how they did, like, you, A, should be honest with them. You shouldn't fucking lie to them or be two-faced, whatever. And B, you could also find, you know, with the negatives, you can also give them a compliment, like, but hey, you did this right, you know? And if they didn't do shit right, don't fucking lie to them. You suck. Get better.
And that's the way that's the reason I say, like you can in certain situations you don't want to bend the truth, because I got the truth bent with me. I mean, I was always told I was a good artist and all and stuff like that, but I at one point I didn't have the that makes you an artist. I was a rapper. So mm-hmm. A person always told me you did good. So when they're telling me constantly that I'm doing good, I'm thinking like, okay, what I'm doing is okay. But really, what's happening? Okay, there
you
go.
You're good.
Okay, so A person told me that so many years, I actually thought that was it until I went to an A&R meeting, and I went to people that really care about my craft and really care about my music, honestly. And he told me, he said, you were great. You were great, honestly, but he said, but your presence is everything. He said, you know, you stumbled over a little bit, you know, you moved around and I couldn't hear you at one point. Like, I need you to be more stern. See, it's a way you can tell the truth. You can tell it in a vulgar way, or you can tell them in a positive way. And it's up to a person that's taking it on the other end if you're going to take it as constructive criticism or negative. And that's just that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's but it's difficult to find somebody that actually cares about your craft that's going to be positive with their constructive criticism on the day-to-day, at the very least.
That is true. Because at one point, one day we'll do it one day, and then the next day it's vulgar. Sometimes it comes vulgar. Sometimes I can't say through my experience with it. Only person that really honestly that's been genuine, because dude, even the A&R meeting, he just wanted to try to get his hand over. He was trying to get to whelm his people over. My only person that really looked into me honestly is probably my manager. Tim really, he take a real look into me. Like, you know, it's not just about because I'm his artist and he wanna try to manipulate me. Or he want to try to use my music for him to get above. That's not what he's trying to do. Like, he really cares. Like, if I make a certain song and he's like, man, you just need this. It's one little tweak. When you can tell me that one little tweak, you're listening directly to my music. Mm-hmm. You're not just listening to the words and the bars that I just did that catched on to that. If you, he'd be hearing one word, he'd say, like, I don't like the way you said, what's up? I don't like the way you did that. You should say it with more drag to it. See, like, he's been like, but it'd be nice. When it come out, it's way better.
Yeah.
Way better.
Is a skill that you have to develop. And
yes, it is.
It's especially, and it's not just an entertainment, even if you're just working in a damn restaurant, it takes that certain touch to be able to tell somebody what they can do to improve.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, I just started a new job a couple weeks ago, and
congratulations.
Thank you. There is this, there's this kid who works there. He started about a week before I did. You know, he's 20 years old. From what I can tell, doesn't have the greatest home life. His dad sounds like an asshole. Like, which sucks, but like, the kid doesn't wear deodorant. And it's like,
that I ain't gonna do with nobody.
Right. And, well, and that's the thing is like I work with like one of my best friends, and I was like, dude. And my best friend's like one of the nicest people in the world. He's like, well, you know, they say that poor hygiene is like a number two sign of depression, like mental health. I'm like, dude, like, I suffer with depression, anxiety as well, but I put on fucking deodorant, man. Jesus.
I ain't gonna lie. That's crazy because that's really I believe that percentage that I looked at, like 85% of the world, or 85% or 75% of the world it suffers from anxiety and depression. Cause I got, believe it or not, if people see me on stage and they'll see me in video, they'd be like, man, I got social anxiety, bro, and I suffer from depression. I really suffer from it.
Yeah.
Daily.
You're in good company then, because Sheer and I both deal with that shit, man. It's
daily, sucks, bro.
But
yes,
like,
it does, bro.
And it's funny because, like, you know, when he gets on stage, you know, he's, you know, vulgar. He's been doing comedy for 15 years, or, you know, like whenever I'm performing, like I can be on, but like, and I can turn it on, but like that doesn't mean like the moment I get off stage or the moment we're done recording, like that I'm not like, well, fuck, life sucks, you know, whatever.
Fuck it instantly. As soon as you got this stage, as soon as it's done and the crowd get to screaming this, and they go like this, your personality just click back in like, fuck, I want to go outside and smoke a cigarette or something.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much as soon as I'm done with my set, I got to go smoke a cigarette and get away from people.
That's I go smoke worst. Your blunt.
Yeah, I cough like a motherfucker when I hit blunts. I am the worst pot smoker.
Everybody it's my preferred thinks, way to smoke. So
everybody thinks I'm going to die. So I just I've had to switch to the vapes.
Because
even though, like, I don't know if you guys remember when those dank cartridges were all over the place, those
goddamn,
everybody's like, I've got this weed and it tastes like soap, and
it's like soap.
It's just like Red Rock opium when I was a kid.
When I was a kid, not Red Rock opium.
Yeah. Red Rock opium. It was people
how old buy... are you, man? That means that you definitely well over 30. You 30.
I'm 40.
Yeah.
Because I just remember being in kids' parents' basements going, let's smoke this Red Rock opium. And it's incense. God damn it.
Fucking Two-Face. There you go. That's another thing. Fucking Two-Face fucking drug dealers, man. You can take it from like, oh shit, somebody sold me a bag of oregano, all the way to like, oh, I bought heroin and there's fucking fentanyl and now I'm dead. Like, you two-faced motherfucker, you deep son of a bitch, get me the good shit.
Have you ever smoked oregano?
Fuck that. I'm a music artist now, so it's, I could be open with it. So when I was a kid, man, I used to be doing shit when I first started up, and I had a nice play come around. He was like, I got such and such. I was like, man, damn, I only got half of what he just asked for. You know what? I said, I'm about to just give him some oregano, and everybody was laughing at me. They thought I was playing, but this is about to trip y'all out. I gave him the oregano, and he liked it.
Man.
So I just said every time he called when I was younger, every time he'd call, I'd just switch it out. And I'd just give him all right.
Hey, Bags, you got any more of that good shit?
Man.
That OG Reno.
The OG Reno, man.
That's going to be my new rap name, OG Reno. This guy in Toledo tried to call me J. Remy. I like OG Reno way more.
Yeah. I didn't grab a nice amount of some stuff, and then I got it back to where I supposed to get it to, and unsealed it. And half of it was like either oregano and some other shit mixed with it. It had some little brown shit that looked like dirt mixed in. It looked like somebody's doing that shit was crazy.
And it wasn't Mexican brickweed.
No, he told me it was half bubble kush, and the other end of it, the bottom of it was Afghanistan OG kush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? They leave that shit out in the desert for fucking 6 fucking years.
They always try to get you with that Afghan. It's brown, so it's Afghan.
Yeah, it's on Afghan.
Yeah. I smoked oregano when I was in high school, and I threw up a bunch of orange stuff. That's how I knew it was oregano.
That probably was crazy.
Yeah, yeah, it was. I thought I was going to die.
I've smelled like burned oregano before. It just like it smells like burnt hair, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I don't know. Let's find out.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. I can't smell it, but I can see your face when you do it.
This is the first time we've ever done this on the show.
All right. Let's see if he has any oregano.
First off, everything.
He doesn't have any goddamn. So this is the problem with living with white people. There are no spices.
Bullshit. Not in my house. Not in my house. I'll be right back.
All right, here we go.
I'll be right back. I tell you, you got some oregano.
You got oregano. I got Italian seasoning.
You got what?
Got it right here. Now I just gotta figure
out. Oregano. He about to burn it. All right.
I gotta figure out what I'm gonna. I'm gonna grab some foil. Like I'm gonna freebase it.
Yeah. Like you freebasing or something. Yeah.
Oh, I got some Italian seasoning, and I'll get my Keith pipe.
You want to burn the Italian seasoning? I want to see your face. I got to see your reaction.
All right. Where is my lighter?
This is crazy. I like this interview, man. It's one of my funniest interviews, man.
All right. I got to get my thing set up here. So what we're doing is we're taking some Italian seasoning. I'm putting it in my stupid little Keith pipe.
Oh, you're actually going to smoke it.
Ah, oh, man, this is about to be crazy.
All right, so I got some Italian seasoning in my Keith pipe. All right. And this is going to kill me.
Shitty weed.
All right, let me see. No, let me see. Let me see.
I feel like I just smoked pizza.
Bro, you just smoked Italian seasoning. What the hell?
How does somebody think this is weed?
Oh, yeah.
He loved it, too.
Yeah, burned oregano does not... It smells like burned grass. It's like... And not, you know, not weed.
And I'm not joking, bro. He loved it. He loved it, bro.
I can't... Man, ugh.
Like you can sell them. How much comes in one of these little spice things? So 0.8 ounces. So you could sell that if you convince somebody that this was halfway decent weed. You could sell that for like $200. Or if it's right on the weed, like 120.
My eyes are watering. And it tastes like.
I did it when Reggie was going on. Reggie was good then. So you know that was a minute ago. It was Reggie. I'm 28. So Reggie, I've been doing this for a long time. So I was in high school type shit.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No, there's no such thing as good Reggie anymore, which is sad.
I don't even know what Reggie is.
No, yeah, like, I don't. All right. So when I started doing comedy, I hosted an open mic that Sheer used to come to all the time. And there was these guys who lived in the neighborhood, and they would sell me, a half ounce of, horrible Reggie for like, how much was it? It was like $50 for like a half ounce. And I used to only be like, the only way I could get high from smoking it was rolling fat fucking blunts. Like, and I had to smoke the whole thing in my face. People were like, can I get some of that? I'm like, no, I need the whole thing.
I don't need you interrupting my smoke session. Stay away from it right now.
Yeah,
that's not nowadays. Now I ain't gonna lie. Nowadays, it's some you will see some loud you can smoke, but then it's some shit that you can't. Some shit you will hit that motherfucker and want to put it straight out.
Yeah,
I had some weed yesterday, and I was high. I was high from 11:00 a.m. to when I went to sleep.
That would be amazing. Oh my God! I smoked
two blood. Like I smoked one at 11 a.m. but I smoked one at 6 p.m.
Shit,
I was high.
Okay,
I was fucking gone.
That's why I love like my preferred way, like for weed is edibles, just because like I used to be real big into painkillers, and I always consider edibles the opiates of weed, because you feel that motherfucker in your whole body.
Yes, you
and
do.
So that, so yes, like that's, and it lasts forever, you know, and like that's the other thing I love about it is like that crescendo where it's like you start noticing you're getting high, and then like an hour later you're like, I fucking don't remember my name.
The fucking fuck. Yeah, I definitely understand what you said. I imagine doing that, bro. I did a show off four edibles.
Ooh.
We smoked a quarter going there. To get to the show, we smoked a quarter. Then I did four edibles, and I popped a pill.
Jesus. And then you got
guess what? No, this ain't that. Ain't that? This what I'm saying. Like, this weird, though. That ain't it. See, before, when I was sitting there chilling. I thought I was going to go in there and perform, like, the third person, but I wasn't the third person. I was, like, the sixth. Ooh. So, yeah, they fucked around, and they waited too long. I got drunk. So I had to be thrown on top of that. Yeah, it was just a crazy night. I still performed very well, but people wouldn't know I was fucked up.
Yeah. The same thing happened to me when I opened for Stanhope. I got, I spent all day drinking with this girl, and then I got to the show, and then he's like, have some vodka. So I drank, like, all his shitty vodka that he gave me and got on stage. People thought that I was on pills, but I was just drunk.
Drunk as hell.
There was, all right, so at the same open mic, I've told this story on the show before, but since you haven't been on, or about 5 years ago, I flipped my car, busted my arm, and I was on, they had me on Percocets for like a year. So I was hosting this show every Wednesday, and I would fucking, and like my bar tab was free because I, you know, was running the show. So I'd fucking pop some pills and I'd be drinking. And this one night I was so fucked up on it, and I was the host. So, you know, I was in between every comic. Three times in a row in between comics, I told the same joke.
Drunk. And every time you laughed at it.
Fucked up on pills, man.
Yeah.
And you laughed at it. You laughing hard as hell. That nobody else laughed.
Dude, the second time, like, people were like, okay, like, he's telling the joke again, but he's just trying to be. The third time, people were like, I got like two sentences into the joke. People were like, you said this twice. Like, I don't remember.
Yeah. I've started doing the disclaimer from the radio show because I've been too drunk to be on stage over and over and over again. Portions of the following broadcast may be found objectionable to certain members of the listening audience. It's like, this doesn't need to be a, but the promoter decided to put anything you want on my tab, and that was a mistake.
That was a mistake.
Yeah, this is like, there's a bottle of scotch back there, I see. So
put that on the tab.
Yeah.
Put the whole bottle
so the tab. Going back a little bit to the topic, like when was when Britt asked you, like, because Britt Fox is the whole reason that, you know, that we got linked up.
Shout out to her.
She's awesome. Oh, big time. Always. She's the best. So when you're like, okay, what are you going to talk about? What made you like be like, I'm going to talk about Two-Face motherfuckers? Did something happen recently that you were like, it was fresh on your mind, or is it just always like, fuck these people?
I took a loss of $75,000.
Oh, shit. Ouch. That's
so painful. So a person. So it's like a person did some spiteful shit, you know what I'm saying? And I don't get too deep into it, because my personal life only go but so far as music. But like, just know, like I said, on that note, somebody did some fucked up shit, and it made me, at first I was gonna kind of revert back to my old ways, and it kind of got to me a little bit, and it affected me in the way, like, I honestly started like second guessing what I was gonna do, because it made me second guess what a person would do, to like, how far would this go? Right. If I get all the way up there and I get enough money and I have no way to get to a person or no way to get to that set of money, would a person really connive me like that, that I trusted that much, that I care about. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like, it affected me because right. I look out for people so much. Like, I may seem like I am cut. I've been in the streets my whole life. So, like I feel like people that's close to me, that been around me, I'm real close to them. I love them genuinely. So, like, when they do certain stuff to me, it affect me, like, in the craziest way. And I try to adjust myself more every day. Like I said, I got social anxiety and I suffer from depression. And I feel like I kind of got I'm traumatized from the things I've been through. I've been through tragic situations that kind of, it'll affect me the way I react off my anger and everything. So with me being inside this industry, and then I argue with a lot of labels, I argue with presidents of labels, A&Rs, managers, a lot of people, and it's just, it get frustrating sometimes. And I get tired of the two-faced ways. Cause one person will tell me, I like your music. I love the way you're doing it, man. I'm talking about famous people. I ain't gonna speak on their name, but these people that can change my life, honestly. That's how I feel. Yeah. I feel like you can change my life. You're sitting in front of me telling me that you think I do good and keep going. I feel like I do put in enough work. I feel like I know you're looking at me and I know you can do better. You know I can do better, but you know I need a certain type of push, but you don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. But if you see me there, if I get there myself and you see me in the same position as you, you're gonna tell the whole world or tell somebody that's next to you how much that you looked into me and that you know how much you care about me. That's a two-faced thing. DJs,
oh, yeah. Fuck that.
Producers, everybody, they always sit in front of me, bro, and constantly, bro, I put money behind stuff, and I put my heart into it. I honestly stopped doing a lot of stuff that helps me out, that in personal life helps me out to get better. I stopped doing it because I want my music to get better. I want my fan base to get better. I want the industry to understand me more because I want my word to go out. It's not just I want to be in there and be famous and have nice cars and do all this extra stuff that everybody else want to do. It's not about that. Honestly, I want the world and somebody that's in my lane that don't know how to speak on it can listen to my words and be like, yeah, this just changed me for the day. When I go out, instead of going out doing what I was out to do today, I listen to that song.
Identify with it.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like two-faced. So it's like my two-faced thing is a person basically. I gave a person a little bit of something to think that the thinking that the love that I have for them, the love that they have for me. It was going. I was gonna go with their story, and it was gonna get better, cause I was in a bad position in life.
Yeah.
So I gave my last. So when I gave my last, it rolled over for a couple months, and then it got bad. But when it got bad, I'm thinking like, you told me when it get bad, if it do ever get bad like this, you will have my back. But you didn't. You instead of having my back, you outed me, just so you can get over when it comes down to money. So when I lost out on 75, I lost out on 40 of mine, and the rest was a revenue that I was supposed to get back. So now I lost out. So I lose out on my 40, and I lose out on the rest of it. And you basically telling me with your shoulders up, like, you'll get over.
That's a lot of money to get over.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's going to take me a long time to get over 75K. Like, going back to what you were saying about how, like, you take that shit seriously like that when you're looking out for somebody and you think they're looking out for you. Like, I am and Sheer, I'm sure you can back me up on this. I am one loyal motherfucker. Like, so when I get burned by somebody that I was loyal to, like, you made me look like a fool. Like, you made me look like a fucking asshole. And, like, now I'm going to come at you with the fucking wrath of God. And I've done it before. I've done it within the last year where I've had to go after some people and, you know, just kind of like lay waste and call them out on their bullshit. And it's funny because, like, loyalty is, while it is a very positive thing for everybody, it can be a very negative thing for just you.
Yes, it can. Yes, it can.
Yeah, it's something that's really bit me in the ass in the past because I'm also very loyal to my people because it's just what it is. I've had the same friends for over 20 years.
That's what I'm saying. That type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's when somebody that's, you know, somebody comes into the circle fewer years than that, I still treat them like I've known them for 20 years. And then they bite me in the ass.
And you sit there and you look at it like, damn, I'm listening.
Yeah, exactly. I just I don't know how to handle it when shit like that happens. Jordan likes to just scream and call people out. Whenever I call people out, they's like, "Oh no, Jeremy's being crazy again." So,
that's been fine. When you finally speak your mind about a lot of things, anybody, especially when, like, I can see that you guys are real people. I can feel the energy that you are genuine people. Like, when you're real like that, a lot of people is gonna out you because you're a genuine person. And they don't like being genuine. No one likes really being genuine. No. Like, we like the two-faced things. A person love being two-faced because I like being this way around this person and this way around this people. This group of people, I like being this way. This group of people, I like being this way. If we in front of this crowd, I want to be this certain type of way. Just like, I don't know.
It's real annoying, especially, like, people will call, like, I'm switching from switch from how you act at work to how you act at home. But instead of doing that, it's just different groups of friends or, you know, different groups of, in our case, different groups of comics.
Yeah.
It's like these people that work clubs, you have to act in a certain way in front of them. But these guys that are just trying to do their thing and don't know what they're doing yet, you got to act a certain way around them because you have to make them think that you're better than them. It's all dumb.
With me,
I want to ask you guys about that. Tell me more about it. I want to know about you guys. Like, I want to know about it. I want to know.
Well, all right. So basically, in comedy, you got people that make money doing it, and they work at clubs or they work at theaters. They've been doing it a few years, and they don't really go out to, like, the shows where anybody can just get up on stage, you know, like open mics, basically.
Okay.
But, you know, if you want to perform every night, you still got to go to open mics because that's just what's there. Okay. So I'm a person that I work clubs rarely because I'm dirty. I'm a weirdo with pink hair. Like, I'm not going to get on every club stage.
You should, though. That's the best part. That's the best. People with their own mindset, you can tell, like, you have your own set. Like, you don't care a fuck about what motherfucker think. You know you're the fucking shit. Flat out. So yeah. if a fucking person knows that it's shit, let them do their fucking shit. Because when they pop their shit, sometimes it's a good fucking thing.
Yeah, it is. I enjoy that very much, especially when I see new kids, like, have that spark in their head. And, like, I want to see that because it makes me happier to do what I'm doing. But, like, when you're at mics, and the truth of the matter is, like, you're all in the same position because you're all at this open mic and not working. But, you know, if a working comic comes to those spots, they have to act like they're better than everybody. Because otherwise, like, how will you know to show them respect? It is a dumb thing gets a lot of people caught up because they just they don't know that these people aren't really, they're not bullying them, and they're not giving them shit and ignoring them because of who they are. It's just because they're not working the same rooms they are. And it's dumb.
It's a hierarchy thing.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't like the hierarchy thing. I was like, we're all artists, we're all trying to get to, you know, the same thing, so I don't really care. But it's difficult to, when you're new, like, I hear the number one thing that new people tell me is there are so many cliques. And I don't know how to navigate the cliques. And it's not that there are cliques, it's just there are people that work and they're in one group and they're not going to treat you right because you're not working with them.
True.
It's stupid.
That's the same thing with the music industry. Once again, going back on the subject, the two-faced situations, like, everybody would be in a concert or event, and people supposed to perform. And you got some artists that's ahead of some artists. but you're still in the same event as them. Like, you're doing the same thing. They get on there, they get up there, and whoopty woo and do their little thing. But before they went up there, probably most likely, I've seen it plenty of times, a person get in there and they sit in there, they're a normal person. You could talk to them, genuinely have a full conversation. Mm-hmm. They get on stage, they fan base come out, and people show how much they know who that person is. That person gets off stage, they act like they don't know you.
Yeah.
Now they're in their whole different modes. Like, but didn't you just have a good, genuine conversation with me? Now I can't even get the picture that I remember what we said about the picture, or the conversation we thought we was going to have. Now everybody up on you, everybody's around you, you treat me like I didn't talk to you. And I've been in that position before too, and that's wrong. That's wrong.
Yes.
Like, I was going to, like, I know you're talking about like somebody who might be ahead of you, but like, I was going to say, just in entertainment in general, whether it's comedy, music.
I did it too.
No, 100%. But it's like, one of my biggest problems, I think, especially in comedy, I guess it would be more with solo artists and music, but people, when they first start, it goes one of two ways. Like, you either learn and adapt, or you get a big head really quick and like your ego comes on too fast. And it's like, you don't have the right to have an ego yet. Like, you need to fucking learn your place first and then get better. You know,
That works all the way through the whole industry. That goes comedy, that goes basketball, that goes music, everything. That goes everything. That was right on point. You hit it right on the head.
Yeah. It's difficult to navigate when you're new, because you don't know. Nobody tells you, you know, hey, this is how you got to act until people take you seriously. Nobody tells you that.
Yeah, they let you fall on your face first. You got to fall on your face.
Yeah, exactly. Until you fuck up, and then somebody will pull you aside and be like,
when you fuck up, the crazy part about the industry to me is, and it goes back to the two-faced thing, but then it's kind of not two-faced. Cause it's kind of like I was just watching. So a person will sit there and go on, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Then when you fall on your fucking face, when you finally fall on your fucking face, honestly, they finally come out of nowhere, like, but this is what you had to do the whole time to pick it back up. I was looking at you the whole time, blah, 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 blah. And he'd be like,
yeah, yeah.
What the fuck, you just didn't tell me? What the fuck?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
the best way to learn, though, sometimes. You know?
Fall on your face. Fall on your face, man. That's just life. You go outside, you want to be, you're in mom's house, you're in your parents' house, or not even your parents' house, maybe you didn't grow up with your parents, or your whoever you grew up with,
right,
the house with your elders. And then they finally tell you the famous line, you live under my roof, you got to abide by my rules. But then a kid always says, like, can't wait till I'm 18, or I can't wait till I can get out of this house. And you finally get out there.
I have three younger siblings, but two of them are about to turn, they're twins, they're about to turn 17. And I was at my folks' house a couple months ago, and my little brother was being a little fucking cock to my mom. And he goes, God, I can't wait until I'm 18 so I can move out of here. And I was like, yeah, how are you going to pay your fucking bills?
Right.
I said, who's going to pay for your phone? Who's going to pay for your food? Who's going to pay for your fucking car? Like, I moved out at 20. I know the mistakes. Like, shut your fucking mouth and do what mom tells you until she kicks your ass out.
For real. Because it's fucking serious out here. They want to fucking get out here and jump their ass out here. It's fucking serious.
And especially now, like, in the climate we live in today, like, the world got a lot more fucking real the last few years, you know?
Fuck, 2020 was fucking real.
Yeah.
There's no more getting out there and selling Reggie to make a living. One of the things I used to do for younger comics is like, all right, here's your bag of Reggie, sell this in nickels and dimes and you'll make enough money to eat.
<laughs> 100%.
Yeah.
I'll put y'all on, man. Put y'all on.
So Bags, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me on all social media, man. They can follow me on Facebook, IG, Twitter, and every other. I'm putting myself on plenty other sites. I may not be on there. Most likely, you can catch me on my IG or my Facebook. That's where you will get a quick response at. So at Baz Bogotti, that's at BAGZBOGOTTI.
All right.
I'm gonna follow you on both. So. Hell yeah.
And then basically anybody, y'all try to search, anybody search my music, because I don't know if y'all, if they heard my music or anything, y'all search my music, y'all just search my name. And any, that's in any music platform. I think you can even search on Amazon. Search any music platform, my music will pop up.
I was going to say, I think you're on Apple Music.
Yeah, yeah, I'm on Apple, I'm on Spotify, every, yeah, I'm on all that.
Awesome.
And I just recently dropped two videos too. I dropped the video to Outro Body, and I dropped the video to Helicopter. They're on YouTube. They recently just dropped.
Oh, awesome! It's something I can watch on my TV. Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. So Jordan, I don't think we're gonna find anybody that hates Two-Face people as much as Bags Bugatti.
No, pretty much. No.
There is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid avenger. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep standing up and falling on my face. Feed me numbing ages. Drag me to the ring. Another discharge may burn. Drunkenness. I keep my bruise and my brain and under the punches, and I was meant to take.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.